It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
He's got the football, and he walks in. And the Utes razor sharp with the opening possession. They've got 61 yards. Backfield. Utes rush four. Brown straight back. And it's picked off. It's Lloyd headed for the end zone. Pick six. Devin Lloyd. Rising on third and long, right down the middle, a seam shot caught, and down to the 10 is Dalton Kincaid.
Alrighty, sports fans, welcome on in. It is Unrivaled on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Scott Mitchell here, along with Tom Hackett, former Utah great punter, and of course, KSL Sports contributor. He's filling in for Alex Keery, who decided that he heard that there were snowstorms this week and wanted to still find warm weather. So he's taking a few days to try to suntan that beautiful white body of his. Anyways, welcome to the program, Tom.
Thank you, Scotty. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. All right. Well, as you can tell by those highlights, very good, by the way, Jeremy, something big happened this weekend.
A few things big happened.
There was a lot of big things that happened, and but I'm not sure that there was any bigger than what happened there up on the hill for the Utes. And, of course, I had the pleasure of being at the game, and it was just amazing. It was electric. We're going to talk about the Utes in the Rose Bowl playing the Ohio State Buckeyes. That's the cut.
The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, Tom. I have a surprise for you.
I like surprises.
I have a surprise. I have something that I have been holding on to. And since July.
Wow.
And I no one knows that it's there. This is the first time it's been exposed.
Okay.
And I just want you to know that I had a lot of influence on what happened with the Utah football team this year.
Okay.
Let's call it a good luck charm. I believe in that stuff. I believe in that karma. I believe in it. So I'm going to show you. Okay. So
you're going to show me?
Yeah, of course I am. Because now I can.
You're exposing yourself?
Well, not
on
myself.
Radio?
No. Well, that would certainly put the Utes in the Rose Bowl if I did that. But that's unfair. We'll just leave it at that. All right. We went to Pac-12 Media Days.
Yes, you did.
And it was in July. And I got a little something, and I just said, I'm going to put it in here, and I'm going to show it to you, and I want you to read it for the folks at home. Okay. So I got this. Now, you can't see this at home, but it's like one of those what
notebook.
Is it, moleskin books, you know, with the little band right on it. Yeah, it's like a journal. You take notes and what have you. And on the cover of it is what?
A rose.
For the Rose Bowl. So this is what the Pac-12 gives you at Pac-12 Media Days. So it's like a little notebook type of thing.
The rose is off-centered, though. It's very strange.
Yeah, don't look at it that way, okay?
Sorry.
Right. And this has been an off-centered year here. I want you to open the book and tell me what you see in the front page of this book.
Front page of the book. All right. I'm opening the book. Utah. This is dated 7/27/21.
Yes.
Which would have been August 27th. Utah will win the Pac-12.
July.
Sorry, July. Utah will win.
I mean, you're from Australia. It could be August.
August is actually the 7th month in Australia. That's for another time. Utah will win the Pac-12 and go to the Rose Bowl. Nothing else is written on the page.
That's
Scotty.
All that needs to be there.
So what were you thinking when they were 1-2?
I didn't think about it. I just left it there. I didn't touch it. I did. It's been literally in my backpack, untouched, since July. And I have waited. I almost showed this last week. Anyway, so Utah has this amazing weekend, and it was really. I mean, it was incredible.
Well, you were there. Can we start with that? Like, what was Allegiant Stadium like?
My goodness.
Because I wasn't fortunate enough to make the trip.
I drove down there. And I left Thursday night after our show, drove down to the game, and it's, you know, it's like 9 o'clock at night, and the freeway's packed with people.
You left Salt Lake City at 9 p.m.
Well, I left at 6:15 from downtown Salt Lake, and I headed south.
Okay.
And it takes you roughly. It took me 5 hours and 40 minutes ish to get to Las Vegas. That's what I'm telling you. It took me. It's a lot faster than that, but we won't get into that. I will just say. So you're going at night, right? It's a Thursday night.
There shouldn't be anyone.
There's
on the
no traffic.
No.
There was traffic the whole entire way.
And you would have seen a lot of Utah flags, I'm sure.
Saw the flags and what have you. So I get there, and we want to go to the game early. So I'm normally at the game early, anyways. So I show up in the stadium. We're down on the field. We get to take some pictures. The field's amazing. The stadium is just incredible. The Mandalay Bay is right across the freeway. So there's a bridge that walks across I-15 from the Mandalay Bay to Allegiant Stadium. So we take the bridge over, see a few fans, but we're really early, way early. I get up in the radio booth, and then you just slowly start seeing
a sea of red.
You just start seeing people just show up. And then we start getting social media posts from people, and it's just a steady stream of red going across the bridge.
Utah fans showed up.
I think there was somewhere in the 56-ish thousand people in a 65,000-seat stadium, and 45,000 of them had to be Utah fans.
It's unbelievable.
It was incredible. So the environment.
You and I, by the way, had both been to the two previous Pac-12 title games in Santa Clara. And with all due respect to Northern California, this didn't even compare.
Major dud.
Yeah.
Both of them. Aside from the Utah lost. Right. Just a major dud.
The atmosphere at those games was pretty poor.
It was,
It says it lightly, too.
And you have people. So they go, well, okay, which game should I go to? Should I go to a Pac-12 championship game, or should I wait and hope that they go to the Rose Bowl? And I think that's kind of been the debate, but Las Vegas is so easy to get to.
Yeah.
It really is. And it was just – it was so impressive. Just that alone, it was so impressive to see the Ute faithful show up, right? So the game starts, and I've never experienced this. Like I did as a player. I kid you not, I have goosebumps. From the kickoff, I have goosebumps. And I'm standing up in the booth. I can't sit down. I'm standing in the booth. Bill Riley's there. We're both standing up in the booth. And, you know, it's a comfortable, beautiful, brand-new stadium. And it was just Utah's year. You know, and you don't want to say it. You don't want to go, oh, we're going to go to the Rose Bowl. Like, we're going to go to the Rose Bowl because you don't want to jinx it. But I'm telling you, every single first down, every touchdown, every sack, every tackle that Utah made, I'm just like in my head going, I'm going to go to the Rose Bowl. Utah is going to the Rose Bowl. I couldn't, even today, Tom.
You can't believe it.
I can't get over it.
Granddaddy of them all, Scotty,
and it absolutely is. I mean, it is the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl from Pasadena, California, and it's indescribable even now. And part of it for me, And you were at Utah, a different era than me. There was not a snowball's chance. Like a snowball's chance that Utah was going to go to the Rose Bowl or a bowl when I was at Utah. A bowl, any bowl. I mean, any bowl. And to see this happen and to watch it unfold in front of my eyes, and I mean not just that game, but to see the whole entire season. Like I watched last year, the COVID year, and this was a young team, right? And they were really young, and I watched them, and I said, boy, this team could be really good. Like, it could be really good. I mean, it's a quarterback away from being really good, and they've got amazing talent on defense. I mean, they're all young. So last year I was like, great, they're going to get 5-7 games in the COVID season. All these young players are going to get experience, and they're going to come back like gangbusters next year.
Well, there's a lot to unpack with this season. It was a 1-2 start, a quarterback change, a few other pieces kind of thrown around. Cole Bishop on the defensive side. The tragic passing of a teammate played some role in all of this as well. But to think about where they were a couple of months ago to where they are now, it's almost unbelievable, and it's like some sort of a miracle in some regard, because it doesn't make any sense. If you remember that Utah BYU game,
oh, and the San Diego State game, like the San Diego State game, Tom,
shambles,
was the most boring game I've ever witnessed in my life.
It was just constant catastrophe.
It was pathetic. There was no energy. There was no excitement with this team. There was no leadership with this team. There was no direction. I mean, nothing. This team was just atrocious.
But that's what I'm. And to think, however many months down the road, 2-3 months down the road, they've gone in 3 weeks. They've beaten a top 10 team 38-7 and 38-10. It's hard to beat a team once. It's incredibly difficult to beat a team twice, and they did it against a top 10 opponent. Like, yeah. And it was like a massacre. It wasn't close. Neither of the games were close, Scotty.
What surprised me about Oregon was Mario Cristobal has this like mantra, right? That we're going to out-physical you. We're going to be tough in the trenches,
right?
On both sides of the ball. And that's kind of their thing. And then they have athletes, right? They have athletes at skill positions, and they got athletes on that defense. I mean, just an incredible defense. But there was something not right with this team. And we've had these players clubs where we've had these shows once a week. So we had Devin Kafusi come on.
Right.
And he just said, we'll know early on against Oregon if they're for real or not. Because the first time we played them, they were actually kind of soft.
That's interesting.
And it's like, and we even talked about it. And I talked about it on the radio. It just felt like there's something not right with Oregon. It felt like there's a distraction. It felt like there wasn't the same kind of, I don't know, style of play. They laid down quickly, like you punched them in the mouth, and they just really didn't fight back.
But they didn't have a quarterback either.
No,
and that was exposed as the season went on.
So you know how you talk about, oh, it's really hard to beat a team. Like watching the first game, like watching Anthony Brown, I'm like, I know exactly how to play this guy, and it's the style of offense that Oregon runs. So it's the play action.
Yep.
It's play action, and then every throw is quick hitting. And when he gets in that rhythm, then he's really good.
Right.
And you watch the Oregon State game between the first Utah game and the second game. That's what he did. They just let him do it. And Utah actually made some just brilliant adjustments from game one to game two, and they're very subtle. It wasn't a lot. But what it was showing some blitz looks, because that's where he hurt Utah in the first game was actually blitzing. When Utah, they just came after him, and he could just catch the ball, plant, boom, and get rid of the ball quickly, and he didn't have the pressure. He didn't have to sit in the pocket. He didn't have to do that. And this game, they just sat back. They literally just sat back in zones. And they faked and they showed him something, and then they rolled to a different coverage, And he was at a loss.
He was horrible. He was throwing balls 10 feet over his receiver's head. Like he wasn't even, receivers weren't even jumping for him. They were that far out reach.
And then what you have is you have a guy who actually should make a play for you, you know, in the third quarter where they threw the ball down on the goal line. And the guy just dropped it. But that's kind of what happens after a while. You kind of lose your mindset, your focus, whatever.
When it rains, it pours.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and you can just – I mean, I think Utah beat Oregon when Devin Lloyd intercepted that pass and scored. It was just like Covey's punt return.
Yeah.
And in the first game, it was like the game was over. And I really believe the game was over the minute Devin Lloyd had a pick six. And you could just see that there was just nothing in Oregon. And a lot of it, you have the offensive coordinator who's going to Akron to be a head coach, and now Mario Cristobal, who's going to Miami, and going back home and going back.
Not official, but
well, it's going to happen.
A lot of speculation. Yeah.
And so you've got a situation where there's a massive distraction.
So you believe that had that played a big role in all of this?
I believe it had an impact, right? Where Utah has been impressive to me, and this shifted because it wasn't there at the beginning of the year. I'm telling you, it wasn't even close to there at the beginning of the year. Where this all shifted for Utah was when this offense and defensive line for both these teams just matured. It grew up. It just morphed. It changed. Junior Tafuna playing in the inside. And Utah lost, you know, they lost a player early on in the season, a defensive lineman. And the emergence of Van Fillinger, I mean, Van Fillinger has become a man. And you can see why this guy was 4-star. I mean, he is really, really a legitimate player. And then you got Mika Tafua on the other side. And so what was happening is you started getting pressure on teams where – it was consistent. You know, it wasn't just one guy on the edge. It was both guys on the edge and a great push in the middle. And that's like, you know, if you're a defensive coach, that's nirvana, right? You're just happy about that. And it's just a nightmare for an offense. So that developed. Utah's ability to stop the run developed. And a lot of that was with the emergence of Cole Bishop. And he was injured. And he came back. And then this offensive line just... they really liked it from the beginning, but they just couldn't get the five guys healthy enough to stay together. And Bama Lasini just kind of grew up, and I mean, he came out of nowhere, and this team just really, really emerged. But the thing about this entire year, for me, for Utah, it's really one thing, and that is the offense led the way.
That must make you pretty happy.
I don't sleep at night. I get so happy about that, Tom. Well, it's always been a bugaboo of me.
Well, I get it. It's been a decade since Utah's had an offense that's led the way.
And I see that in the offensive meeting room or the team room where it's like the mission statement. And it's like we play great defense, we play great special teams, and we take care of the football on offense. It doesn't say we play great offense. And so special teams wasn't great this year.
No.
Defense was a work in progress, and offense consistently, once Cam Rising got in the game, was the difference.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I think wholeheartedly, as good as this team is on paper, and I think this is a very good Utah football team, good enough, in fact, they go into the Rose Bowl to play the Buckeyes. On paper, you knew going into this year they were always going to be dominant. But there's something else that I don't think words will ever be able to describe. I don't think there's anything we can say on the radio to give fans an understanding of what it is. I don't even know if the players or the coaches know what was going on inside that facility. But there's some spirit, there's some sense of belief. You combine that with confidence and momentum, and all of a sudden you've created this monster that's incredibly difficult to stop, as Utah showed towards the back. Cam Rising lost one game of football against an Oregon State team that ran essentially three offensive plays that Utah couldn't stop.
And it's all Power 5 teams, too.
And it's all Power 5. I mean, like, so there's something going on there, And there's this constant conversation between talent or fit. And I think Charlie Brewer, they decided to opt and go with Charlie Brewer based on experience. And I know Kyle Whittingham's going to defend himself, and as he should, but I think in hindsight, and I get that hindsight's 20/20, you've got to look back and go, there's something to learn from all of this. And that is that maybe experience isn't as valuable as fit. Maybe the player that the team rallies around is more important than however many games Charlie Brewer played in the SEC and threw for 500 yards against Clemson. It clearly had a profound impact on the way this football team played. Clearly.
Charlie Brewer or Cam Rising was the difference. I mean, people are, and I totally agree. And I agree with the whole, everything's always about fit. Cam Rising's the best dual threat quarterback in the Pac-12. I mean, it's not even close. I mean, this guy legitimately can run and ran and made a huge deal. I can't tell you how many third downs and like medium to long that Cam Rising scrambled and got a first down and what kind of impact that had on this team. And then his ability to make throws, and he made some clutch throws. I mean, USC throwing a third down pass to Theo Howard really kind of changed the whole momentum of that game. And this guy is that legitimate dual threat guy. But he's the spark plug. He fits in with how Andy Ludwig was, you know, dialing things up. I mean it's the absolute perfect fit. But it's also what you're saying about this guy is just a spark plug. And you talk about everyone around him just raves about the type of person he is and how he goes. He's like a guy who's just never had a bad day.
He's always smiling.
Just has a great attitude, a great perspective on everything, and so yeah. I mean it has a huge impact. All right, I want to ask you something. You grew up in Australia, right? And
yep.
You weren't really exposed to American football until you came to the University of Utah.
Right.
Did the Rose Bowl ever mean anything to you? Like, did you understand it when you were a player at Utah, or did you understand it before? What does a Rose Bowl mean to you?
Well, I understood the importance of trying to get to the Rose Bowl. It didn't hit me to my core. It never made me want to cry thinking about I mean, to be fair, if I always told myself, if we make it to the Rose Bowl, the coolest thing that's going to come out of that is that I'm probably going to go get a rose tattoo somewhere.
When you say somewhere, do you mean like you're going to get a rose tattoo like at a tattoo place as somewhere, or you're going to get a rose tattooed on you somewhere?
Yeah, on me somewhere. I just didn't decide where I was going to get it. But I was excited about the rose tattoo because then it had meaning.
Did you ever
right?
think about where you might want to get the rose?
No, not really. We never
really got that far?
We were close, and then we just tailed off pretty drastically.
Do you think the players when you played?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think they really thought that they could go to the Rose Bowl, or do you think they belonged at the Rose Bowl?
No, I don't.
I was
never a part of a team, Scotty, where I felt like we. Even when we were number two in the country, I think it was 2014
beat
or
Michigan
15.
Early in the year, right?
Early in the year, we beat Michigan. Then we went to Oregon. We dismantled the Ducks, 62-18 or whatever. I never really felt like. We belonged there. I thought the team felt like we were lucky and fortunate to be there and to embrace every moment. But do we really belong? And then it showed. We went to USC, right? We had a bye week after the Ducks. We went to USC, and the Trojans were favored by 3 points. And we were the number two team in the country. And I'm going, if we're not going to beat the Trojans in the Coliseum now, I don't know when it's going to happen. Because if we're not favored... If they're favored by 3 points, that has to piss everybody off in that locker room, and we lost. We lost. It wasn't even
you're
close.
You're up early, though, right? And then Travis threw like...
Big bulldog threw three picks to that middle linebacker. I forget his name.
But yeah, no, I know who...
That Trojan maroon or whatever color kind of just turned into red for Travis that game. It was unfortunate.
See, this whole weekend, I can't get over... I just can't get over the fact that Utah is going to the Rose Bowl.
But I think Utah knows they belong.
Now they do, yes.
No, but I feel like they've known that for the last month at least.
Do you – so we broadcast to the two previous Pac-12 championships, right. And it never felt like they just didn't.
2019, I thought maybe, but they came out in that game and they were off.
Yep.
They were not right. Something was wrong.
And I really think it's part of that just mindset. I think the mindset changed. And you know what I think happens when the mindset changed? What changes? I think it brings people to you.
Without a doubt. The power of the brain, the power of confidence is, you cannot put words to describe it. Now, here's what's special. It's really hard. And you know this, Scotty, better than most. It is incredibly hard for any athlete in any sport to gain confidence. It's hard. You've got to be built different. You've got to go through experiences that are tough. It's so challenging to find 120 of the same build to have that same mindset. It's easy to find, or it's easier, I should say, to find one or two players here or there that know they belong. But to find 60, 70, 90 players, I mean, come on. That's where special is built. And that's why I think this Utah team's different than the rest.
Oh, man, so much to talk about. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, though, I guess we're going to talk to Gordy Chiesa, a little Jazz tack. You're listening to Unrivaled on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.